News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary. As we journey through the fascinating northeastern part of India, every episode brings new insights and stories. So, here is a glimpse of what we have in store for you today. In this episode, we bring you a report on the ongoing preparations for the second edition of the Arunachal Rang Mahotsav 2024, which is scheduled to begin on November 22nd. It is expected to be the biggest and the longest theatre festival in all of Northeast India. We will also cover the 25th All India Police Band competition being held in Nagaland. Additionally, we will take a look at the 4th edition of the Shillong Literary Festival. But folks, first let's talk about the significant strides being made in improving maternal health care across Meghalaya. Thanks to the state government's ongoing efforts to enhance primary health centers in remote villages, the maternal mortality rate has seen a dramatic decline of over 50% in the last 4 years. We bring to you an update on some key developments, including the launch of a fully equipped facility for expectant mother in Purkhesia village and a new transit home in Rancor, both designed to provide crucial support for women in challenging terrains. Stay tuned as we explore how these initiatives are helping to save lives and make childbirth safer for women across the state. Here is the report.
The state government's efforts to improve primary health centers, PHCs, in remote villages have played a key role in reducing the maternal mortality rate over the past 4 years. One such success is the primary health center in Pura Khasia village in the Garo Hills, which recently celebrated a significant milestone with the launch of a fully equipped 10-bed facility for expectant mothers. This facility is designed to handle even the most critical cases. Similarly, in Ranikor, an area known for its challenging terrain and unpredictable monsoon seasons, a newly established transit home now provides a safe haven for expectant mothers from nearby villages, ensuring they can reach a medical facility on time for delivery. These efforts are part of a broader transformation in maternal health care across Meghalaya, which has resulted in a dramatic 50% reduction in the maternal mortality rate over the past 4 years. Sampath Kumar, Principal Secretary of the Health Department, described these initiatives as vital steps in the journey towards making childbirth safer.
Whenever there is any maternal death occurs, actually we started doing this for the last 4 years. We have a detailed review of why it happened, what are the reasons. You know, we actually analyze it in an all systematic way. You know, what are the root causes? We do a lot of root cause analysis and try to, you know, mobilize the actions to see that such kind of factors, you know, how they would be addressed so that, you know, in future, such kind of deaths would not occur.
With significant efforts, we have seen a decline in maternal deaths in Meghalaya, achieving over a 50% reduction in the last 4 years, Kumar noted. However, our goal is to reduce this even further.
So, basically through that constant iterative process, we take very, very, you know, concerted action on the ground and also to see that, like, you know, what kind of a further support can be provided.
Weekly review meetings and in-depth root cause analysis have become the backbone of Meghalaya's approach to reducing maternal mortality by identifying the specific challenges faced by mothers in remote areas. Health officials have been able to deliver support where it's needed most. Every mother's life is important and we must ensure their safety, Kumar emphasized, underscoring the state's commitment to reaching even the most hard-to-access regions.
It's a very important exercise for us because every mother's life is so important. You know, we need to save each mother's life. So with that effort, of course, like, there is a decline in terms of the maternal deaths in the state, over 50% reduction in the last 4 years that we could witness.
Additionally, a partnership with the Tamil Nadu government has enabled the training of 60 doctors in ultrasound procedures, bringing essential diagnostic skills to areas that previously lacked such expertise. The state's healthcare teams now monitor around 80,000 births annually, a task made more effective with real-time data on pregnant mothers. The system enables targeted care and greater accountability, allowing for a more proactive approach to maternal health.
We have having the data now, basically, about every pregnant mother. So, like, for example, today, in one place, they found that, like, the pregnant mother has, the 7 grams hemoglobin. It's very low. So we have the data now. So now how such mothers would be made sure that, like, you know, they are taken care of, even if required blood transfusion or, you know, or iron sucrose. So basically, to provide all that, once you have the data, you know, like, you will not miss out anything. There is a greater accountability. Without data, you will not have accountability. You can actually try to pass the, you know, responsibility on something else. But, like, when you have the data, it's a greater accountability in the system. So that's working. So we have a real-time database. In fact, anyone can see, like, we don't get that because of confidentiality, we don't give the names. But the numbers are available to anybody to see. It's a meghealth.in.
The department now also has access to real-time data on pregnant mothers, improving accountability. Referring to a recent review, Kumar mentioned discussions on maternal deaths in Ranikhor, a region facing challenges like poor network connectivity and limited mobility, especially during the monsoon season.
We had a review with Ranikhor, and in fact, there are a lot of challenges. There is no network, you know, there are so many challenges, like even to inform to the CHC, there's an issue of network issues there. And the monsoon season is even difficult in terms of, like, traveling and all that. So we asked the Ranikhor CSC, you know, in fact, with the help of the deputy commissioner and the BDO, they should set up a transit home there in the Ranikhor so that, like, you know, you can bring the pregnant mothers. So they're even struggling to get a space there. So there are such kind of hard to reach places.
Kumar added that Meghalaya's decentralized health system has fostered a sense of accountability and pride among local healthcare teams, empowering them to respond directly to the needs of their communities. These essential upgrades to primary health centers have had a life-changing impact on mothers in remote areas who previously had to travel long distances for basic maternity services. This is Abhishek Mukhopadhyay with Lamphrang Nongspang for Northeast Diary from Akashwani News, Shillong.
The 25th All India Police Band Competition commenced at the drill square of the Assam Rifles Training Center and School, Sokhubi, under Chomokhi Dima district of Nagaland. Hosted by the Assam Rifles, the event began on November 18th and will culminate on November 22nd. Nagaland's Governor, La Ganeshan, graced the opening ceremony as the chief guest. And here is a report from our Kohima correspondent, Asuno.
The 25th All Indian Police Band Competition is witnessed in participation from 25 teams representing 16 states, 2 union territories, 6 Central Armed Police Forces and the Assam Rifles. Addressing the opening ceremony and drill square, Assam Rifles Training Center and School, Sukhubi, under Chomokhi Dima district, Governor of Nagaland, La Ganeshan, said that the event celebrates not only the musical prowess of the police bands, but also the spirit of unity, discipline and dedication exhibited by the armed police forces.
Military and police bands have been a cornerstone of military tradition for centuries, serving multiple roles that extend beyond music. They play a crucial part in the infrastructure, communication, morale, and national identity. From ancient times to the modern era, military bands have evolved adapting to the needs of the times while retaining its significance in military culture.
Additional Director General of Assam Rifles, Major General J.S. Bansalang, underscored the significance of military bands beyond musical performance.
As sentinels of the Northeast, we take pride in being available to the locals during their hours of need. There is more of a police band than what we see eye. The importance of a military band extends far beyond musical performance. It plays a crucial role in fostering community relations and enhancing the image of uniformed forces.
The participating teams are competing in three categories: pipe band, brass band and buglers. In addition, the competition will recognize the two best conductors in each of the brass band and pipe band categories. Special contests for Mahila pipe and brass bands are also taking place, with teams vying for the coveted winners and runners-up titles. For Northeast Diary, this is Asunyo from Akashwani News, Kohima.
The Arunachal Rang Mahotsav 2024 is set to begin tomorrow, November 22nd. This 15-day Mahotsav is a first-of-its-kind dynamic platform showcasing the best of Arunachal Pradesh's creative talent. And here is a report from our Itanagar correspondent, Rakesh Dole.
The second edition of Arunachal Rang Mahotsav, which begins tomorrow, will be the biggest and the longest theatre festival of whole Northeast India. This is also the first international theatre festival of Arunachal Pradesh. From rich oral folklore traditions, local performing arts, dance and martial art forms of the region, this festival is a celebration of the artistic spirit that defines Arunachal Pradesh. Festival director Rikan Ngomle has informed that the best production houses from across India are invited to perform in the Mahotsav. This include the Ratan Thiam's Chorus Repertory Theatre from Manipur, Kalamandalam production from Kerala will perform Kodiyattam, an ancient dance form. There will be 7 international participations from 5 different countries, including USA, Poland and Thailand. Mr. Ngomle also informed that Sedo Puppet and Puppet Theatre are also part of the festival. The festival director informed that they have curated a series of performances, workshops and exhibitions that will bring to life the stories, traditions and talents of the people. He said that the effort is to introduce people of Arunachal Pradesh, what is theatre, its form and the possibilities.
तो इस बार हमने क्या किया अरुणाचल में जब थिएटर होता है तो वी वर सीइंग लाइक थिएटर एक्टिविटीज बहुत कम होती है और लोगों को लगता है कि जैसे कि कन्वेंशनल थिएटर है या प्रोसेनियम थिएटर है जिसमें लोग विंग से निकल के आके नाटक डायलॉग बोलते हैं उसी तरह का थिएटर वही है तो हम इस टाइम कोशिश कर रहे हैं कि वो जो आइडियाज को थिएटर कितने प्रकार के होते हैं किस तरह से होता है उसको हम इस तरह अरुणाचल के ऑडियंस को हम दिखाना चाह रहे हैं अरुणाचल के लोगों को दिखाना चाह रहे हैं कि थिएटर में पॉसिबिलिटीज क्या है थिएटर कितने प्रकार के होते हैं इसलिए हमने ट्रेडिशनल फॉर्म से लेके कंटेम्प्रेरी एक्सपेरिमेंटल थिएटर तक हमने बुलाया है डांस थिएटर होता है एलिजाबेथन होती है और उसके बाद ट्रेडिशनल वाले वो भी फॉर्म्स भी होते हैं और बाकी जितने भी कन्वेंशनल थिएटर फॉर्म्स भी है संगीत नाटक है हमने बहुत सारे बुकेस हमने तैयार करने की कोशिश किया है तो उसमें मैं आप बताना चाहूँगा और बेस्ट ऑफ द प्रोडक्शन फ्रॉम द कंट्री इंडिया से हमने इन्वाइट किया है और बाकी जो जितने भी कहानी है वो जो हमारे यहाँ के फोक टेल्स जो जैसे कि हमारे यहाँ हम लोग ओरल ट्रेडिशन के वजह से हम खो रहे हैं ना ऐसे हमारे फोक सॉन्ग्स खो रहे हैं फोक डांसेस खो रहे हैं फोक टेल्स खो रहे हैं तो उसको हम लोग जो है रिवाइव या प्रिजर्व वो करने की कोशिश डॉक्यूमेंटेशन करने की कोशिश हम कर रहे हैं इससे टूरिज्म को भी इनडायरेक्टली बेनिफिट होगा एट द सेम टाइम हम लोग यूथ लोग जो है हम जो रूट्स में गोइंग बैक टू रूट्स वाला वो वाला हम अपने चीजों को सेलिब्रेट करने किस तरह से हम पहनते थे खाते थे उसको हमारा सबसे इस फेस्टिवल का यही हमारा मोटो है कि हम अपने चीजों को यंग लोग अपने चीजों को देख के अपने चीजों में गर्व करें
स्प्रेड ओवर 15 डेज दिस एडिशन ऑफ अरुणाचल रंग महोत्सव विल एनकंपास अ वाइड वैरायटी ऑफ परफॉर्मेंस आर्ट्स इंक्लूडिंग प्रोसेनियम परफॉर्मेंसेस स्ट्रीट थिएटर एंड थिएटर इन इंटीमेट स्पेस शोकेसिंग बोथ नेशनल एंड इंटरनेशनल परफॉर्मेंसेस As the festival ambience will feature a variety of folk and traditional art forms, the art lovers are eagerly waiting for the Mahotsav. For Knowledge Diary, Rakesh Dole, Akashwani News, Itanagar.
In a recent initiative, the Indian Council of Agriculture Research, ICAR, Central Institute of Freshwater Aquaculture, in collaboration with the Department of Fisheries, organized an important input support and training program on scientific aquaculture. The event focused on recent advances in freshwater aquaculture was held in Pakyong district of Sikkim. Our Gangtok correspondent, Dili Ramdulal, brings you more details on this significant development.
In his message, the chief minister acknowledged the dedication of fish farmers, fish folk and all stakeholders in strengthening the fisheries sector. He emphasized the sector's significant role in sustaining livelihood, ensuring food security and maintaining ecological balance, while also reflecting the state's culture and traditional value. The chief minister reaffirmed the government's commitment to promoting sustainable fishing practices, conserving aquatic ecosystem and providing support through modern technologies, training program and financial assistance. He lauded the Department of Fisheries for their relentless effort, which have positively impacted farmer lives and contributed to building self-reliant communities. The Chief Minister also expressed gratitude to the distinguished delegates from the Government of India for their presence, which added value to the celebration and reinforce collective efforts towards sustainable fisheries development. In the other hand, recently, Indian Council of Agricultural Research, ICAR, Central Institute of Freshwater Aquaculture in association with Department of Fisheries, organized an input support for scientific aquaculture and training program on recent advances in freshwater aquaculture at Pakyong District. Mr. Puran Kumar Gurung, Minister for Agriculture, Horticulture, Animal Husbandry, Government of Sikkim, in his address, encouraged fish farmers to embrace advanced aquaculture technique and highlighted the role of technology in increasing productivity and sustainability in fish farming. The minister also encouraged farmers to utilize centrally sponsored schemes such as the Pradhan Mantri Matsya Sampada Yojana, PMMSY, which aim to provide financial aid, market linkages, and training opportunities. The program features several key highlights, including distribution of Kisan Credit Card, KCC, distribution of fish feed, and Amur Carp Seed was distributed to 50 fish farmers, 32 trout farmers received Raceway FRP grade unit and PVC pipe under the financial year 2023-24. National Fisheries Development Board, NFDP, certificate were also handed over by the chief guest, benefiting farmers across Pakyong district. With Mainak Chatterjee, this is Dili Ramdulal, Akashwani News Gangtok for Northeast Diary.
Now we bring you highlights from the fourth edition of the Shillong Literary Festival, an event that has quickly become one of the region's most anticipated cultural gatherings. This year, the festival saw an unexpected surge in attendance, with over 5,000 people coming together to celebrate literature, art and creativity, with a remarkable lineup of esteemed authors, thinkers, and artists. The three-day festival has proven to be an unforgettable experience for attendees. Join us as we take you through key moments, discussions, and performances from this festival, which is gradually shaping Shillong into a premier literary hub in the country.
The fourth edition of the Shillong Literary Festival attracted an unexpectedly large crowd with more than 5,000 attendees on both the opening day and the second day. The three-day festival, which concluded on Wednesday, is first emerging as a premier cultural event in the region. The opening ceremony of the Shillong Literary Fest drew a large audience of students, readers, writers, and literary enthusiasts, all eager to immerse themselves in the festival's vibrant atmosphere. The festival featured a series of engaging sessions with eminent authors, artists, and thinkers, offering attendees an unforgettable experience. Highlights from day one included insightful sessions with the renowned personalities such as Vikram Seth, Shobha Day, Jerry Pinto, Kinfam S. Nongkinri, Sabir Hussain, Arubjyoti Saikia, and Amabel Susungi, among others. During the inauguration, Chief Minister Conrad Sangma emphasized that the event aligns with the government's commitment to providing platforms for youth to engage in the passions.
To document things and to ensure that you're able to jot down things and come out with books and research. And that's something that we really want to encourage. And that's why you would be seeing that it's not just this literary festival that we're doing, but we're connecting this with what we call the research scholars. So I'm sure you're aware that we have a program called the CM's Research Scholars, where about 50 research scholars are funded by the government to research on different aspects. And through the years, I hope to increase the funding for the writers to do different kind of research and document the important aspects of our state.
The Chief Minister also acknowledged the efforts of the team that has worked tirelessly behind the scenes over the past 4 years to establish and sustain the Shillong Literary Fest. Tourism Minister Paul Lingdor highlighted the importance of such events in nurturing talent. There may be talent, but without forums like this, many young people might not receive the support needed to pursue their passions. This festival provides a platform for them to explore and build on the interests, Lingdor said.
The need for the written word, the need for literature, the need for books, the need for poetry, to try to bridge that gap, to try to capture in whatever, to the best optimum level, that which is ethereal, that which is man-made, to aspire to the heights of the divine. And there lies the challenge of being a writer.
Speaking at the festival, Vikram Seth, author of A Suitable Boy, remarked that Shillong, often referred to as the Scotland of the East, deserves a more fitting title, especially with the cherry blossoms in bloom. He suggested that Shillong should instead be called the Kyoto of the West.
And one could be forgiven seeing the cherry blossom around for thinking it, of it this morning as the Kyoto of the West. But Shillong really doesn't need to be compared to any other city or any other place. Well, the lilt of the harp and the flute, as we've heard, the lapping of waters as one rides in a boat or as one swims, as I did yesterday in the Krang Shui Falls, or the lilt of Khasi, give one a really wonderful atmosphere of the place. And it's been wonderful to be here, even though so far for a very short time. Yesterday, I took a short tour around the environs of Shillong. Apart from the beautiful waterfalls, I also went to the most astonishing garden of monoliths. I've never seen anything like that in my life. And, you know, I've seen places like Stonehenge. It's astonishing that we don't know about that. It should be world famous, but I'm, I wouldn't say ashamed, but certainly embarrassed to say that even in India, even in what you call mainland India, people don't know about these wonderful, wonderful places that are to be found not merely in Meghalaya, but in the other parts of the Northeast. I discover I have a connection with Shillong, which I didn't realize till 5 minutes ago. Tagore apparently was in Shillong, and it was the basis of his inspiration for a famous novel that he wrote called Sheshev Kobita, or The Last Poem. This is a poem that was read to my mother when she was pregnant with me. Luckily, that was what she was reading. Had she been reading a suitable boy, I would have been born with a flat head.
Columnist and writer Shobha Day described the literary fest as the prettiest she had ever attended. She called Shillong magical and completely enchanted, adding that it wasn't an exaggeration, but a heartfelt expression.
Shillong is magical, and I'm already completely enchanted. Is not an understatement. It's I'm saying it from my heart. I loved the short time that we've been here. It's a discovery on many levels. The serenity, the beauty of Shillong, that this time of the year that we are here, to see the cherry blossoms in full bloom, to be by the lake, to have at the prettiest literature festival possibly in the world, is a great privilege. I'll definitely be writing about Shillong, about a book from Shillong. Well, let's see how that works out.
She noted that literature is all about self-expression and emphasized that every writer has a unique truth to share with the world.
Literature has to be the writer's truth. Literature is about self-expression. Every writer presents his or her truth in the way they best can. And that's the whole point of literature, to share what you're feeling, to share your truths with the world.
The first day concluded with a captivating musical performance by artists from the Meghalaya Grassroots Music Project, a significant step towards promoting the youth and musicians of Meghalaya. Day two kicked off with an insightful session on culture and heritage, which featured the launch of the Meghalaya listing document. This document includes around 300 buildings, not just in Shillong, but across various parts of the state that have been listed as buildings of cultural and historical importance. Day two also celebrated poetry and storytelling with the session Autumn Winds, Poets and the Words. The panelists explored the evolution of poetry and debated whether the purity of traditional poetry has been diluted or simply transformed to reflect the changing world. Dr. Bharat N., a senior professor at Northeastern Hills University, observed that this year's festival was well organized, and he was encouraged by the growing number of attendees. As a teacher, he expressed his happiness at seeing so many young students participating in the festival.
It's good. This is my second time. Last year I came, and I think this year it's much organized, and I believe there are much more footfalls. And it's good that more people are joining, and that would also help people to just get curious about books. Maybe if they attend one or two sessions, it will be good. And I'm happy because I'm a teacher, and I find a lot of young students coming, so it's a nice feeling. So kudos to the organizers for this program.
Jasbir Singh, an avid reader, believes that the Shillong Literary Festival is on track to rival other major literary events in India, such as the Jaipur Literature Festival, Kolkata Literary Meet, and Chandigarh Literary Festival. He also noted that in line with the matrilineal culture of Meghalaya, the festival has notably higher female readership than male.
I feel wonderful being here. This is the first edition, and I haven't missed even one. And as you can see from the crowd, the gathering, you know, yesterday it touched 3,500. And today I think it is going to surpass even that. And that shows, you know, the interest that's being generated by this festival. I think, you know, it's catching up. And very soon that, you know, it will equal the festivals of other states like Jaipur Fest, Calcutta Lit Fest, Chandigarh Lit Fest. But I find one thing very interesting, and I think that may be owing to the matrilineal system here in among our society in Meghalaya, that you find more lady readership than the men. I have met the authors which were my idols all these years, and I didn't think it would be possible had it not been for this festival.
This year's Shillong Literary Festival has successfully created opportunities for local authors, budding writers and students to connect with some of the country's most prominent authors. The festival is gradually positioning Shillong as a premier literary destination. This is Abhishek Mukhopadhyay with Lamfrang Longspang for Northeast Diary from Akashvani News, Shillong.